Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about district cricket and some of the problems they've got with number of teams. It's interesting that West Torrens and Port Adelaide have been in talks about merging. Both of those clubs have also been spoken about in regards to getting dropped out of the district level. And interestingly enough, there's a university team in there. And my thinking is, why don't they get rid of university if they want to get rid of one club? And I saw that in Stumps, Sacker's recent magazine, they had a story about the benefit of university teams in cricket comps, yet there was a photograph of Port Adelaide Magpies in there. I had to have a bit of a laugh about that one, Rick.
Well, Robert, not only have you had a laugh, so have most of the cricket world. It is probably going to go down as one of Sacker's greatest gaffes of the last 50 years, that they've made such a ginormous mistake in publishing an article with the wrong photographs. However, I think we need to go back in time a little bit to explain the whole thing.
Okay, buddy. Now, when as a little bit of a historic note in Port Adelaide and West Island cricket clubs. Now, Port Adelaide, 1893, they began life as a cricket club, and that's pretty outstanding length of service. And West Torrens go back even further, 1857. Now that's two very long serving clubs. I would hate to see either of those clubs go, and I'd hate to see them merge.
Well, that's the whole problem in a nutshell, that you've summed it up. That the fact is that these are two of the most history rated clubs going around, and the fact that they have been threatened with expulsion or merger by the Sacker is a very sad thing. We have to go back, I suggest, to the earlier days and look at, we'll call it district cricket, but to confuse the issue, we no longer have district cricket at the A-grade level. We have Premier League cricket, which is a name more synonymous with the rest of Australia, and that's the reason they've changed it. However, it still basically remains as an A-grade district cricket club. Now, if you go back, say, to the 60s, there were 10 clubs, and those 10 clubs were associated with district areas. Bar one of the 10 clubs, there were 9 district areas and 1 university cricket club. Now, a significant factor in that university cricket club, and I guess I could use myself as an example, was that if you were a university student, you had to play for university. So using me again as an example, I was playing A-grade cricket while I was still at school. I left school, went to university, and therefore had to play for university. And I had no problems with doing that, and nor did any of the other students that were playing for university. One of the problems implied with that rule at that time, of course, was that Sturt, in my case, who'd given me the opportunity as a schoolboy to play A-grade cricket and had brought me up through the junior ranks, from schoolboys competitions through, they lost the benefit of having brought up a junior because they had to then play for university. So whether it was Sturt, Kensington, anybody else, all those clubs that had juniors who were leaving school and going to university lost the services of those players. Just to add interest to the whole thing is that these days, university as a club in Premier League cricket don't even have to use university players. On their website, it is quite open and says you do not have to be a university student to play for university. So the rules have changed, and so has the significance of university as such.
Okay, now, when you're talking about the 60s, you had a couple of extra clubs come in to make it 12. There was Salisbury District Club, and I believe it was Teachers College.
Yes, in the early 60s, the number was increased from 10 to 12, and Salisbury and Teachers College, who had both been playing in B grade, were given the Guernsey and moved up to A grade cricket.
Now, in other sports like amateur league football and baseball, there was university and Teachers College teams participating, and over time, Teachers College become part of the university system. So you started to lose teachers' college teams, and the university teams continued. But in baseball, university went out in the mid to late 80s. And then in amateur league football, the Blacks are still very strong, but like Roseworthy College, which is part of the university system, they have a team, but they play under the Blacks, under university in like A7s or something like that.
Yes, well, I guess that's true. In the cricket example, things went along quite rosily, as it were, until 1997-98, when, in fact, teachers did drop out. Now, there was nothing wrong with that, but what happened was that they then decided that two clubs should come into the competition, that was Tea Tree Gully and Southern Districts. At the same time, there was an amalgamation between Salisbury, which was the A-grade club of the time, and
Elizabeth,
and they changed their name to the Northern Jets. So what the SACA did, and there seems to be no problem with what they did, was commit themselves to a 13-team competition, which by mathematical necessity implies that there had to be a bye each round. Now this announcement that they've decided, or the board has decided, that they wish to reduce the number of sides from 13 to 12 is the thing that's caused the complication. In the first instance, they called for clubs to voluntarily amalgamate. And I guess, Robert, you won't be totally surprised to understand that none of them put their hands up. And so the board, in its wisdom, then decided, after they claim that they conducted a complete review into the, call it, Premier League A-grade system, that the two clubs that should be forced to either amalgamate or one of them to disappear to B-grade was West Torrens or Port Adelaide, despite their incredible history. Interestingly enough, West Torrens have got more juniors in total numbers, boys and girls, playing in their area than any other district cricket club, and they also have an academy for young players as well. So at this point in time, it's really hard to understand why they were the two unfortunately chosen clubs.
You know, as an interesting aside, in league football, going back into the late 1800s, in the 1890s, there was a team called Natives, which were Port Adelaide Natives, which was a second sort of Port Adelaide football team, which eventually became the West Torrens football club. And, of course, in 1991, West Torrens and Woodville amalgamated. So Port Adelaide-West Torrens amalgamation sort of have a long history in the football sense of things as well.
Well, they do. I'm fascinated with the name Natives. I don't think you'd get away with that today. So getting back to where we are at, the problem really arises that obviously, two clubs with the mate steeped in the history that they've got are really very angry, and so are their supporters and friends of cricket about that. Now, there is a proposal. Firstly, I guess you've got to ask why they've chosen to recommend this decision of reducing the number of teams. It seems to me that there's only two possible scenarios. One is that they want to get rid of the bye. Well, after 20 years of having a bye, that seems a little peculiar in that all of a sudden we don't want to have the bye. I think you could argue that players, unlike professional AFL footballers, who are certainly not professionals, could do with a bye every now and again, perhaps to see family, weekends, etc. So there's possibly an argument for keeping a bye. On the other hand, the other possible scenario, it seems to me, is that there's an inference that by reducing the number of teams, you're increasing the standard of the competition. Well, that's fine if you were to reduce the number of teams by, say, half of them, but to only drop 11 players out of a competition with 143 players in it is like a drop in the ocean. It's not going to affect the standard whatsoever.
Yeah, there's been a... We'll use baseball as an example because I have a long history with baseball, but over the years, they tried so many different competitions. They basically have had 12, 13, 14 top A-grade competitions over the last 30, 40, 50 years. And they've had competitions where they've had a top six and a lower six with a promotion relegation. They've had a 12-team comp where they all play each other once and then they split into the two divisions. They've had just solely Division 1 and Division 2, and you've had to have teams that in A grade and B grade to be in Division 1. And they've had recently, you had to have teams in Division 1, 2, 3, and all the junior grades to be a Division 1 club. But there's always examples, and of course, different boards get in and they vote differently. And if anything, baseball just continually changed the competition for 30 odd years. It has stabilised a lot over the last 20 years. And as a consequence, clubs have become stronger, and there seems to be a natural attrition rate to a certain degree with the top eight or so clubs. But your northern districts, those types of clubs have remained near the bottom and on the cusp of sort of dropping out. So perhaps a better system than dropping clubs out would be to protect players at each club to give them an opportunity to perhaps get an extra American player in or something along those lines so they can strengthen the competition rather than always looking at change. Because at the end of the day, what goes around comes around, and as far as population bases in various areas, there's that's rotating as well, depending on where young families move to. And when you have strong clubs and they're pinching the younger players from clubs that aren't so high up, that sort of ruins that natural attrition and the way teams can sort of come back up to the top.
Yes, I see what you're getting at. I'm not sure that there is a distinct parallel between the baseball scene and the cricket scene in that we don't in cricket have imported players or whatever. And I guess you can say that from a point of view of SACCA that there has been amazing stability in the clubs and the performances of those clubs. It's over the years, there's not a trend that says, well, certain clubs are always at the bottom and certain clubs are always at the top. I don't think that is the problem with the present situation that SACCA have recommended that occurs. In fact, I don't actually understand, and nor do a lot of other people, why they've set upon this course at all. I've actually even suggested to the CEO of SACCA that there is a good argument to put forward for not reducing the number of the sides, but in fact increasing them. And I'll give you an example that if you wish to get rid of the bye, then you add one extra side to the competition. And the logic, it would seem to me, is that you add a side representing a district that is of enormous growth and where a lot of young talent is coming out, whatever sport it is. And the most perfect example of where you could go would be something like a Greater Barossa district side, where the youth is expanding. If you don't want to go there, then you could go to Mount Barker and have a similar type scenario there. Probably the biggest mistake, if SACCA wanted get rid of the bye, is that you add both of them. So maybe you only add one, or in fact, then you'd have to go to adding three if you wanted to get rid of the bye. But it just seems to me that without explanation from the SACCA as to why this move is on, that no one quite knows what their thinking is.
Another example of changing of the competition to maximise the quality players in one competition, back in the 1950s, baseball came up with a night competition which was played on Wednesday nights at Norwood Oval under lights, and it became very popular. And what they did is, at that stage, they had 11 district clubs. They amalgamated all the clubs. So Sturt and Glenelg were Sturt Tigers. Port and University amalgamated. Easttowns and Kensington, and they became the Norwood Red Sox. And that competition went for 16 seasons before summer baseball came in. And it was really, really popular. They had test cricketers were playing. They had 5,000 to 10,000 people would come and watch the games, and it was just absolutely sensational baseball. And it was the best, and playing the best, and all the clubs kept their identity to play in the winter time, in the winter competition as it was at that stage. So all the clubs kept their identity, and all the best players played on the one night. So they're the ones that become the state players, and South Australia was really strong in the Claxton Shield at that time as well.
Yes, I mean, I see where you're coming from, but as I said earlier, I don't see any parallel really, because you've got so many tiers of professionalism in cricket now, and the balance has moved. I mean, in my day, you simply played first-class cricket, or you played what we now call Premier League or district cricket. There wasn't a stage through which first-class cricket went in three sort of tiers. You either played test or state cricket, or that was it. Whereas now you've not only got test and state cricket, you've got 50 over one day games, you've got 20-20 bash cricket. And so the number of occasions when your top players play at even state level, let alone Premier League or district level, is very rare. Back in the 60s, all first-class cricketers played basically all district cricket as well. And I think the other thing is that baseball lends itself very much to a one-area Norwood Oval, call it what you like, and a lighting situation where it is the diamond is very much smaller, whereas if you're going to try and play night cricket, you can only play basically at Adelaide Oval, and you've got 12, 11, 13, 15 teams, whatever, who can only play there once every whatever number of per round. And so I don't think that's an answer to the cricket situation.
And I fully appreciate that, but haven't they experimented over the last few years with a sort of super comp where they've got Papua New Guinea and Northern Territory teams?
Well, they have, but it's to the best of my knowledge, it's played on a Sunday and it really hasn't become significant. It's more like a strengthening of a certain number of opportunities for players of potential to play against each other, almost in a practice match scenario rather than as a genuine for real competition.
Yes, and just to finish off this episode, my opinion would be that if you have to go to an even number of teams, perhaps get university to drop down to the second tier. As far as West Tigers and Port Adelaide is concerned, with their history alone, they should remain in the Division One competition, because history is a very important part of sport, and it whereas it's okay to bring in teams like Tea Tree Gully and Salisbury at the time, let's not just get rid of the historical teams just for the sake of a numbers game.
I couldn't agree more. And I guess in summing up myself, I mean, I do have a loyalty to university. I was lucky enough to play for them and even captain them. I've received a university blue for performance in cricket. However, the university, as I said earlier in today's program, doesn't represent the university that it was established for. It was established for university students. It is no longer that. It is open to anyone to play. It isn't associated with a geographical area. And as a consequence of that, despite the fact that a university was formed in the early 1900s, so it's got a proud record as well, I think if some club has to go, unfortunately, university is the most logical one to do.
Thank you, Rick. This is Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.